Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 607. This is Kevin DeFranco. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
It's just another week. These things are kind of starting to go by with some regularity. Just like the rest of the year. Big news, I guess, is that Ken injured himself and is now out of disc golf. We only have a couple of good weekends to go here. But because of a broken foot, Ken is on the injured reserve. I do not know if that means a return of OPA or not, but it does mean the end of disc golf. So that might have been today's biggest news. the biggest news that I guess I thought in our Weeko Wrestling and how we've paired this off, because the last show that you and I did, we were talking about AEW Full Gear. Did you end up happening to get that show?
That I did, yes. I ended up breaking down and getting the show, even though I said I wasn't going to. overall, I would say money well spent. It was a very good show. We could probably go into more details tomorrow, or excuse me, on our Thursday show, unless Jeremy Mays wants to take the reins on that show.
We'll see what happens, I guess, in that regards. I didn't realize he was getting a new game system, so he might be out for a while. For those of us that don't play games, I guess that's a big thing, evidently. we will find out, I guess, in that regard. So for now, I guess I was kind of wondering that a little bit, but since the Tuesday show is usually our WWE show until the possible return of OPA, we shall see on that front. Cover the WWE, and I think the big news that we talked about last week was we were wondering whether Sasha Banks would hold on to her SmackDown Women's Championship. We got the answer right at the top of SmackDown this week with Sasha coming out victorious. Thoughts on that outcome?
Not surprising. It was once again a very, very good match, and seems to be the end of the feud for now. Sasha getting two clean wins over Bayley in a row should seemingly knock Bayley down the list of contenders, and as we're heading towards Survivor Series, it appears Sasha's not losing the title beforehand. But, Carmella decided to make her presence felt at the end of the match as well, though.
Kind of wondering. I felt like she's kind of had a weird push here with her makeover. Do you feel like her makeover is just kind of, like, similar, except instead of wearing, like, the Jersey Guido thing, she just got more dressed up?
It would seem that way, yes. I'm really interested to see what her wrestling gear consists of in this gimmick. They have, with not a lot of success, for various reasons, tried to have the gimmick where one of the ladies is the diva of the division. They tried it with Emma in the Emelina deal that washed out in amazing time. They tried it with Eva Marie, but things didn't work out with her. Somewhat with Mandy Rose, but she even more fell into a tag team with Sonya Deville. But yeah, it looks like they're once again trying this fashionista, throwback diva gimmick with Carmella, and we'll see where it goes. I mean, obviously, they want her to be an immediate challenger to Sasha.
Yeah, I mean, she is really, because, and I guess I felt like her vignettes had kind of been a little sporadic recently. Like, they're kind of like, oh, new Carmella's coming back, and then I felt like they skipped a week or two, or it's possible I fast-forwarded past it. I do feel like she had one on last week's show, so it made sense for her to finally show up and get involved, and because she's a former champion, it does make it pretty easy to insert her in a championship match. I mean, it's not going to change my mind. I pretty much feel like Sasha's going to defend against Carmella. I think that would be a pretty odd change. How about yourself?
It would be, although, in an amazing turn of events and showing just how badly they messed up with Asuka, you know, post WrestleMania 34 after losing to Charlotte, Carmella is actually undefeated on pay-per-view against Asuka.
Well, isn't that something?
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to stay that way for very long either.
Obviously, they are promoting two, big championship matches on the for the final Raw before Survivor Series. You know, teasing those last potential changes. They may do the same for SmackDown, with some titles at stake on that last episode of SmackDown. You know, 2 days before Survivor Series.
Oh yeah.
But I don't. I know Sasha and Asuka's been done, but. It's definitely better than doing Asuka and Carmella. So yeah, I'm hoping we can push off this Carmella challenge for maybe another month or so.
Yeah, I would think that's going to be the case. We shall see. But yeah, I mean, I'd be kind of surprised if they really went into it, coming up here. So I mean, that was kind of the big change with the shows. There was a whole lot of the same thing going on though in general. I don't know. Is there anything worth repeating about? You know, because the next thing up was the whole Rey Mysterio family saga.
Yeah, they did do something, put a new twist in with that. Although, once again, we don't have to go expound on it as much as we did because we've talked about it a lot. But they did have the moment where Murphy apparently sided back with Seth.
Oh, yes.
Don't know where this is going. He's telling Aaliyah to just trust him. Otherwise, I'm having a feeling we're going to have a wedding episode of SmackDown in the offing. And that's where everything will come to its climax.
I guess that is the way to, I think we've both said, how do you get out of this thing? A wedding angle is a blow off to get out of this thing. Finally. Like I do think that might be the one answer.
Yeah. I think they're going to do a, we're definitely getting a wedding. I can see that coming down the bike. Then out of the wedding, maybe you have one final match, and then that is it. But until then, they're gonna do what they're gonna do with this. I guess at this point, it's just kind of point and laugh at it, and enjoy it for the ridiculousness that it is, and. It's not like complaining about it. It's gonna hasten this feud's conclusion because it hasn't worked so far.
No, it is not. But I mean, it's been entertaining enough that I just really, I guess I've been okay. Like, it's getting a little zany at this point, but whatever. You know, it's definitely different than something else, and it has at least internally made about as much sense as anything else the WWE has done. Like, if you take out the creep factor, everything makes sense. But there is, it's extremely hard to get around the creep factor, which really hurts. At least at this stage of the feud. Yeah, so that ended up playing a role in King Corbin getting on Team SmackDown. I had to laugh really hard on Raw when AJ Styles, I believe it was AJ Styles, giving a pep talk to his team, and he had to talk up King Corbin. That was one of those moments that made me laugh inside. Like, it wasn't ha-ha funny. It was, you know, funny because he had to talk up Baron Corbin. In which case, AJ Styles is never going to talk up Baron Corbin like that ever again in his career.
Right, yeah. Yeah, these... It feels like these elimination matches this year are absolutely dead on arrival. There is just there's no interest, there's no drama involved in any of them. I know we're still technically talking about SmackDown, but oh my, all the infighting on the Raw team is just annoying at this point. Oh my God, is that just making for some terrible television?
Well, I guess I kind of expected that to end. You know, I really did think that they were kind of quote unquote getting somewhere in the match. So I was like, oh, okay, nice. It is going to turn out that AJ Styles is right. They just needed to beat each other up and then everyone would be on the same page. And, you know, hey, nice end of story, and we can kind of go into this thing without any problems. But no, they're going to drag it out for whatever reason. You know, it is kind of weird. Raw's team is vastly superior, at least as far as size goes. Than the SmackDown team.
Yeah, it definitely is, yes. Yeah, the Raw team should be able to eat the SmackDown team.
Pretty much.
Yeah, but you know, we gotta do this dissension stuff, and it's the same as they've done before, but with lesser interesting stories and lesser interesting characters.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's just not fun this year. Right? They've been able in the years past to do some cool stuff with Survivor Series, some dumb stuff too, but there have been some really good Survivor Series with this Raw versus SmackDown concept. And last year, adding NXT into the mix helped, you know, keep it fresh. This year, it's just back to Raw and SmackDown. There's just nothing, and there's just no feeling that anything here, you know, means anything at all, or that any of these matches sound all that interesting. You know, we're to the point where everyone's been moved around so much over the years that the main roster hasn't necessarily turned over enough for this to be in any way that all that interesting. There's not very many combinations of matches that you're looking at and thinking, "Oh boy, I can't wait to see those two hook up." You've never seen that before. You might never see that again. There's just nothing there.
Yeah, agreed. It kind of piled on top of the fact that the draft was just recently, so a lot of these guys have been in feuds with each other in the recent past anyway. So that hasn't helped a whole lot. Yeah, there's just a lot of things not going for that event right now. And yeah, it is not grabbing me terribly hard either. Like, I guess I haven't minded the infighting stuff, but it hasn't really been good either. I kind of, like I said, I guess I expected some type of conclusion instead of just more of the same moving forward, because it's just, yeah, they've done that gag so many times, like, I'm just tired of it.
Yeah, they absolutely did. And then they absolutely overdid it on Raw, especially. And the SmackDown team just doesn't have anything really to do with each other at all, for the most part, other than the stuff they did with Jey Uso and Kevin Owens. Which that was fine enough. That was probably, other than Sasha and Bayley, the highlight of the show, the interactions between Roman and Paul Heyman, and also, Kevin Owens thrown in the mix. So that was all fine. I like the stuff about Jey Uso needing permission from Roman Reigns, and if Roman's not around, permission from Paul Heyman to even do an interview now. Yeah, that's all good stuff.
Yes, yeah, that stuff has been very enjoyable and definitely has carried SmackDown quite a bit.
Yeah, it absolutely does. Yeah. Roman's on the run of his career. Jey Uso, to some degree, is as well. So yeah, it's all really good stuff. Once again, though, once we get past Survivor Series, they're gonna. There's ways to do it, but man, getting Roman to his next title defense is gonna be rough, since all these baby faces are just taking losses left and right on SmackDown. Now, Kevin Owens was, granted there was a low blow, but, beaten by Jey Uso. Otis is just a complete joke now.
Oh,
There's just
yeah.
Daniel Bryan's off again after taking a huge loss and a beating. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see at post Survivor Series where they can go with Roman Reigns to keep this momentum going.
One, I guess, qualifier match that is of at least some minor interest and a little bit of a fresh topic. Did you find it as head scratching as I did that the WWE spent a lot of time to reestablish the Riot Squad only to put Ruby Riot on the Survivor Series team and seemingly not give Liv Morgan a chance to get on there also?
I think Liv Morgan's gonna get her shot next week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because the storyline they're doing is Natalya taking forever to get put on the team, and I assume in the end Natalya's also gonna end up on the team as well. She'll get some kind of a last chance, multiple person match or battle royal or something. To get herself on. So yeah, I definitely see Liv Morgan getting on probably by next week.
Okie dokie. Yeah, because when I saw that, I'm like, huh, this could be kind of odd. But yeah, if they end up including her next week, and they still do have a few spots open, if memory serves, it would make sense for Liv to get on the team. So yeah, and Ruby had a new look, and I don't think that was such a bad thing. They
No.
certainly could use a freshen up.
Yeah, no. I like Ruby's new look. It's a good look for her. Yeah, I think that they do have a could have a new life for themselves on SmackDown. But there is still the issue of getting those tag belts off of Nia and Shayna.
Yep. And again, like everything else, since they're on the Survivor Series team, they will assuredly not be defended at the pay-per-view, I would think.
No, they will not. No, that women's Survivor Series match. Oh boy, is that not looking good? I'm not liking the mix of talent that they're putting together, especially on that Raw team.
It seems really strange to have the one team just thoroughly beat up the other team consistently. Like, because Nia and Shayna have really just run over Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose a couple of times already. And of course, poor Lana has now been put through her table for the second full month, like 8 weeks in a row now, is it that she's been put
Eight
through?
week, eight, yes, eight weeks in a row they've been doing this.
Wow, man, she is a champ for continuing to take that bump.
Yeah, she is. It's just, if she was just playing bad wrestler who's useless to the team, who then surprises everyone at Survivor Series, this could be worthwhile. But we know what Lana brings to the table in the ring, and it's just never going to be any good. So it's just like, what?
Yeah, she's definitely never going to be up to what the WWE standard is at this point.
No, she's not. So it's just, it's hard to feel bad for when you know Nia and Shayna are right.
Yeah, it makes it kind of a like it's one of those ones where I'm kind of glad there isn't a live crowd because they would probably be cheering Nia Jax the whole time.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, it's kind of a weird situation that they have going on there. So yeah, so yeah, they've like super beat up Lana and have just plain beat up their other two teammates. So that really is kind of weird too. That does not make for a not that everyone needs to be chummy, but that kind of stuff is just kind of like, well, the team doesn't work like I guess I always sit there and I'm like, well, A, it's kind of weird that Adam Pearce is now the authority figure on both shows.
Yeah, he's been there for a while.
You would think someone would step in and go, hey, these teams aren't working. Let's just pick different teams.
Yeah.
It's one thing to continually have, I guess, like it was kind of a fun gimmick when Cesaro and Sheamus got together and they kept on kind of having their dysfunctional problems. But A, no one's pulled it off like them, and B, like when everyone's doing it, it's just kind of weird. Like, yeah, wouldn't if there was some type of no person putting together a team would put people together that don't get along. Like, they've at least got to have some level of cohesion. And it's just kind of weird where there's no authority figure in these, and it's just Adam Pearce basically is assigning who's on each Survivor Series team because they have, and it's not like they've explicitly said he's doing that, so you don't really know.
He is the authority figure on both shows, so therefore there is no there is no leader, individual leader of each show. Who is giving his superstars their their motivation for getting along and pulling off this win.
Yeah, so that's not going to help any of these Survivor Series feuds. Just the lack of I can't believe and not that I necessarily want to see the McMahons, but it does kind of help define teams when someone is there to act as an authority for each of the separate brands. You know, not that I still took it all that seriously because, you know, it's the McMahons, but, you know, it does give you some type of dividing line, but when every team is infighting, it's kind of like, well, this is kind of weird. Like, ugh. Like, that does not help draw attention to things at all. Well, we've kind of hit Raw up a little bit. Was there anything specifically else off of Raw that jumped out at the page for you that we haven't covered already?
They announced that they are doing Randy Orton versus Drew McIntyre next week for the title.
Oh, yes.
A title change would not surprise me in the least in that one. You know, taking the long way to getting us to Drew versus Roman. And the convoluted way that it's going to hurt Drew in the long run. unless the title's not changing. But I'm kind of operating under the assumption that's your big swerve before Survivor Series. Because ever since they started doing this Raw versus SmackDown stuff with the champion versus champion matches, there's got to be something. You know, there's got to be a change in the weeks before Survivor Series.
Oh, yeah, that last-minute change that always happens. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, and everyone makes a big deal out of it.
Yeah.
I could see that happening.
Hey, those changes got us Brock Lesnar versus AJ Styles and Brock Lesnar versus Daniel Bryan.
Well, that is a fair point. Like you said, like it's probably not the best way to have gone about this. Like, I don't know. Drew closing the books on Randy Orton would have been better. If Drew just wins it back, like, I'm like, oh, he's definitely taking the L from Roman. But if he had just won straight through, then you might have some type of an argument going on.
Well, if he just went straight through, then the loss to Roman doesn't hurt him as much as taking two losses within a month of each other.
There's that too.
Yeah. So yeah, there was no reason to take that title off of Drew. I will never understand this decision to do it. There's two heel versus heel matches at least as of right now on the Survivor Series card that makes absolutely no sense to have two of them, and maybe they'll both change by the time we get there, but. I could certainly, in every way, Drew McIntyre versus Roman Reigns is a more appealing match than Roman Reigns versus Randy Orton. It's just unfortunate that Drew's got to follow up getting back the championship with another loss. Unless there's a creative way they can have Drew win over Roman.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it would be strange with all the groundwork they've laid to make Jay start to obey everything from Roman. To me, it would be a weird time for him to flip on Roman to cost him the match.
Well, it could be an accident.
Yes.
They could do it that way, and then, of course, you know, going into SmackDown, it's how will Roman punish Jey Uso? I guess you could do that. But I don't see them doing that. I think they, I just don't see them wanting to have Roman Reigns to take any kind of losses for quite some time.
Oh.
But as we say, we shall see. But as far as Monday is concerned, next, I'm pretty sure Drew McIntyre's taking that title back.
Yeah, I guess I hadn't realized until you just said it how frequently they have had a title change just before Survivor Series to suit the Survivor Series narrative a little bit better. Because, yeah, your two examples are pretty recent ones. And, Orton versus Reigns doesn't really do a whole lot for me either. Like, it's way more interesting to see McIntyre is definitely more of a fresh matchup. So I mean, we talked about the ladies tag team stuff. What do you think, I suppose, about the reclamation project that maybe the WWE is trying to do with Retribution now?
It's not going to work. Maybe, now, Mustafa Ali, gotta say his name right, maybe he can be salvaged from this, but the rest of them, there's no hope. I mean, that's the best that we can hope for, that Ali doesn't get completely tarnished in all of this. And if he gets to have matches like he got to have against Ricochet at the very least.
Him and Ricochet did get to show off some of their better qualities this week. And, I will give them an A for effort as far as, trying to pull this out of the wreckage department, but it's not happening. The masks and having the code names because they need to feel like Mustafa Ali for whatever reason is... It's still not terribly good reasoning. It's reasoning, and at least you're kind of trying to make sense of things, but you can 100% tell this is all made up after the fact. So it's not good.
Yeah, no, they gave up on at Retribution out of nowhere, seemingly for no reason, after so much time was invested in it. There's no salvaging the masked ones, but as I said, maybe Ali can be able to move on from this.
And I mean, I guess we continue to have some type of fun interplay with The Miz and Randy Orton. Is there much ground to cover with that?
Not a heck of a lot. I mean, the Money in the Bank gimmick is of course naturally a heel gimmick, so it's better on The Miz than it was ever on Otis. But
right,
probably too comedic, and Miz and Morrison are looking too weak. If Miz is anywhere near the time to cash in,
The Miz definitely. Him and Morrison have been. They've been getting their TV time, but they've been pretty adrift as far as in-ring competition slash, like you say, taking them seriously goes. He kind of needs a little bit of credibility if they're going to go that route before he takes it back. I did kind of chuckle that the wife thought that they were brothers this week. I do enjoy the Miz and Morrison still do a pretty solid job on the mic, but Yeah, you certainly do not believe their in-ring skills at the current moment.
No, not at all.
So yeah, I think that definitely needs to be where things need to be helped out a little bit. 'Cause yeah, even if you're a chicken shit heel champion, you still need to do some level of wrestling and have some believability, which I mean, The Miz did have once upon a time, and it's definitely easy to reestablish, so they just need to do so. Anything else from Raw that you feel like talking about?
Well, I really hope they don't go with that tag title change next week. As much as I like the Hurt Business and I like Cedric and Shelton together, I really need that New Day Street Profits match to happen for me to have any excitement at all to go going into Survivor Series.
Yeah, I think we did mention that one last week.
Yeah, we did mention that
And
one, but yes.
in the meantime, I guess the best thing that I could say was that A, I did really enjoy 'cause was it the Street Profits on SmackDown? They were trying to get the info out of Big E about how to beat Kofi and Woods.
Yeah.
And he's just like, oh no, they're just gonna whoop your ass or something like that. And then everyone got a good laugh out of it. Like, it's, yeah, like, and plus, oh, I listened to, I've been kind of slow and listening to New Day's podcast, so I'm catching up. And I did listen to the one where the Street Profits were on there. And I'm like, oh yeah, this could really work out well for everyone involved. A lot of good talkers, a lot of good wrestlers. Yeah, let's have that matchup, kids. The Hurt Business is a lot of fun, but unfortunately, Cedric and Shelton are still a little faceless,
Yeah, they definitely
despite
are now.
Shelton being around for Lord only knows how long.
Other than Lashley, they are not. The individuals are not. Wait, is it, they're not greater than the sum of their. Are they greater than the sum of their parts? How's this analogy working here?
That's a good question.
Trying to think,
Because
because
I'm
as a
not sure.
foursome, it works great. But as just a team, just left of their own devices, yeah, as you said, Shelton and Cedric still don't have enough going on.
Yeah, and I guess they're in another spot where that's cool that they said that they're going after the tag team championships as their reward for handling Retribution. But get Cedric and him and Shelton a couple of easy wins before we get there. I think they've had one win before we got there. So
Yeah, I
just
think
kind of helping them establish a rapport in front of us, I think, would help. But they haven't really done that much of that, like, or at least not as much as I think they should have. So yeah, I hope it just from like you're saying, strictly from a me point of view. I definitely want to way more see Street Profits versus New Day than, I mean, I was gonna say, unless you're saving that matchup for WrestleMania, I guess. Like, that's the only fair way to push this match off. But I mean, you could still have a feud at WrestleMania, and I would be completely fine if they don't interact in between.
right.
So, yeah. Anything else that I forgot there other than the tag teams?
No, I think we're good.
Okie dokie, grandkids. That is the upside to doing weekly shows on these. We can kind of make a couple of these a little bit shorter. That leads me to Insurrection. I believe it's Insurrection Ale Works. This is one of the few times I was out of state this year. I picked this up when I was in Pittsburgh. Just like Mom used to make, it is a what do they call this? Imperial Milk Stout brewed with chocolate chip cookie dough. And it's pretty delicious. The good news with the dark beers is that they do tend to age well. Just keep them in a dark and cool environment. Because the lighter beers, it's usually better to just go ahead and drink those sooner rather than later. Dark beers, feel like sitting on them for a while, go for it. And this one still tastes pretty good. And, so if you happen to be in the Pittsburgh area, Insurrection Ale Works is one of the fine breweries in that neck of the woods, so I would suggest a visit there should you be in town. So I'm at Frango11, he is at Stunt Cali, the brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, wherever you happen to listen to this, and have a good night.